Hey guys, Tom here. Just a couple things before we get started with the show today. First off, our guest today, as you can see in the little title of the episode, is Sam Wiles, who has an album coming out this very Friday, the week the show is airing. So if you're listening to it late, it's already out there. But if not, Sam Wiles' album, Google it, check it out. It's on Spotify. I believe it's called Regular Guy Out of Hell. Check that out. Also, if you're not already on the Patreon, we're doing full-length, full-hour bonus episodes every week that are on the Patreon for $3 a month. It doesn't get lower than that, baby. So get in there, and if you're at the $6 or more level, you get a koozie that I mail to you with my own damn hands. So, $3 a month if you're on the Patreon. Bonus episodes, baby, where we talk about music we do enjoy. It's music. It's bands that don't qualify for the podcast for the most part. So for the main feed where we talk about, you know what the podcast you're listening to is. But, again, get Sam's album or check it out on Spotify, wherever you listen to music. And I apologize for the first 20 minutes. I cough a lot in this episode because my girlfriend was making spicy food. I don't have corona. All right. Enjoy the episode. Here it is.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders returned to the campaign trail Saturday, telling more than 25,000 supporters he's back.
So I put this to music. What's it gonna be for the future of America? Another 4 years of a Twitter tyrant scaring you? More billionaires getting much more wealthier? Can we get some health care and make our country healthier? Can we get that Green New Deal and regenerate? Can we lose our student loan debt and freely educate? Can we use some changes in the way we choose to separate that's proven in the colors of the humans we incarcerate? Can't we see that love is still the only way to combat hate? Empathy begets us to become some more compassionate. Exercise your freedom. Anarchy or activism. Vote louder, vote louder, louder than your voice can get.
Vote louder, vote louder.
Louder than your voice can get.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, as always joined by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, buddy?
It's so funny. I'm doing well. It's so funny that he's like so clearly on the right side of history.
Right.
But also like very much appropriating like Bob Marley while doing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest so that he can chime in on it. We got the king of Sprummer, a.k.a. the fifth season, the king, the pride of Cedar Rapids, Sam Wiles. How are you, buddy?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. You played that, and I broke into a cold sweat. I just immediately regretted my choice, and I was like, I shouldn't have done this. I picked the worst one. Indefensible. He has my exact politics, and I hate what he's doing. It can't be good.
That's the thing. He's got the right politics, but it's like, oh no.
Yeah,
I mean, that's we'll touch on it. He's right about a lot of shit. You just don't want to agree with him.
Absolutely.
That's what sucks.
It's the worst because he's on our side, and it's the worst type of cringy when you're like, I know what you're trying to do, buddy. I don't think you're a bad guy, but this is very embarrassing.
Well, he's a Bernie guy. He was wildly sex positive before almost anyone was, before that was like a term.
Right.
He's like very pro just like peaceful cohabitation. He's a raw vegan. He's correct.
Right.
It just makes you want to jump off a building.
Yep. I want to point out really quickly before we get too far away from it. In the past, I've been getting shit about not coming up with nicknames for the guests. This is the first time I tried.
You did a great job.
And I looked up some stuff about Cedar Rapids. I checked your Facebook. I saw that that's where you're from. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't pay off, and I'm never doing it again.
I think the fifth season is a cool nickname. It's like Big Country. It's cool.
I should have just called you the fifth season, but I tried to do an extra level where I made up what the fifth season would be. Too far. I don't have Corona. We're cooking here, and the spices are choking me up here. But what if I did have Corona? I'm just lying. I'm constantly like, no, I'm cooking.
Well, and you're even trying to cover up that you can't smell or taste anything. My girlfriend's cooking spices in the kitchen. She's made a big pot of spices that I can definitely recognize.
Sam, what do you think about the virus? What do you think about that Cedar Rapids movie? What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's really good. I think it's really on the nose weird way.
It's a nice indie movie. Yeah.
Here's what is the best detail of that movie. Every dude is dressed like a businessman walking around in downtown Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
All the guys have like solid color shirts on and then paisley ties in that color.
Yes.
And then like a brown suit. It's like a brown suit, like a purple shirt, and then a purple paisley tie. And it's like every guy in Cedar Rapids' wife dresses them. And then they dress them from some weird catalog or something.
Right.
Like that's how every dude looks. That's 100% in that movie. It's really reflected accurately.
That's the Ed Helms movie, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, John C. Reilly character.
Yes.
No, because they've never been excited about any cultural anything. That's they would rather never talk about it. Having an opinion on a movie is too bold of a stance for most Iowans. You just go, I've heard of movies, and then you hope that no one asks you to take a stand on something.
I was shocked to see the celebs from your town. Pretty star-studded cast you got there.
Ashton Kutcher's the big one. He comes back a lot. That's kind of why.
Oh, is that right? But you also
goes to like the coffee shop by my parents' house and stuff.
Oh, really? I was going to ask stupidly if you'd ever met Ashton Kutcher. But
no, my whole like family has seen him. They've never had to introduce themselves or anything. But he's like in our neighborhood a lot.
That's incredible. Do you know who else? Can you name the other two? One is very big actor, and one is not as big. I guess
President Herbert Hoover was from Cedar Rapids.
Is that true?
Is that who you mean?
How is it possible? That's not even on the list here. Yeah. No,
he might be from like Mount Vernon, like some. Close by area or something like that, but it's, I think he's considered a Cedar Rapids guy.
According,
he's one of my guys. That's what I say on WTF. Herbert Hoover is one of my guys.
According
I like how
this,
he was laissez faire.
According to this, Elijah Wood is from Cedar Rapids.
He was born there.
Oh,
I don't know if he
right?
grew up there.
I see.
I don't know if we claim him.
And Ron Livingston also.
Ooh, yeah, Ron Livingston we claim. Yeah, he's University of Iowa, big Iowa City. Iowa City and Cedar Rapids are like 20 minutes apart, so we claim all the Hawkeye shit as ours.
I was very happy to see Ron Livingston back in a big way in Search Party. I've been rewatching.
He's great in Search
Party. He's fantastic in that show. That show is so great.
I'm a huge Search Party fan. I rewatched the first couple seasons to get ready for the third one.
Third
one's on HBO Max. It's so good.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. If you guys out there have not watched Search Party, get on it. It's fine. It's on HBO Max. It used to be on TBS's website, and now you can see it on HBO Max. It's fucking great.
It is funny. HBO Max kind of freed a bunch of good shows.
Yes.
Like the other like TBS, that like Wyatt Cenac alien show is pretty good. Like there's a bunch of good like stuff that was on TBS that got a little play.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like my you,
figure it out, studio system.
If you want to see a lot of comedians who agreed to do Stand By Your Band and then never followed up, watch Search Party.
Yes. Check out Search Party. it's so good. And hey, if you're shelling out that HBO Max cash, why don't you get on the Patreon, baby? It's $3 a month.
$3 a month, new episode every week. We're having a lot of fun on there.
I know that I keep bringing up tragedy after tragedy on this show in my personal life. Last time it was that I had a corneal ulcer. Now I'm clearly dying of cholera. But right after we recorded the last Patreon, I go to pick up my car, window broken out. What's that about, Tommy?
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Because that exact thing has happened to me, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So I very much empathize.
They didn't even steal anything that great, but they did steal all the koozies. No, I'm just kidding. I did think that for a second they would... Because I was like, oh, shit, in my trunk, all the that's where I keep the koozies. And so I looked, and they were still there. They're safe, so they're still coming.
Hey, guys, New York is bad. You got to get out of there. That's a bad place.
It's been 5 years. This is the first time anything bad ever has happened to anybody. So
hey, it's 5 years in August. Tom, we're coming up on 5 years.
I know,
August 3rd.
I know. Yeah. Very
you guys moved the same time?
Tom and I
same
drove
day.
Together.
We drove together.
Yeah.
Tell them about
nice.
The bag.
That's fun.
Yeah, so basically,
it was a bag of heads.
So, Tom, we were in Tom's car, which is a sedan.
Right.
And
the very car that got broken into.
Yes.
Good start.
Oh, yeah. And I knew that there wasn't going to be a lot of room, so I literally brought one bag to move to New York, and there was no room for it. So right. Literally, I sat for a 13-hour drive with this giant duffel bag on my lap the entire trip.
That's so funny.
And my legs were, like, dead the entire time.
Yeah, we had to take a couple stops just to give Tommy a bag break.
Like a leg stop. Yeah. Yes.
Truly a rest stop. Yeah.
So one funny. Thing I thought was, so we're talking about Jason Mraz, yes. as you would know from the intro. One thing that is interesting with Tom, Jason Mraz had a broken off engagement. Do you see that, Tom?
I didn't see that, but I did know that.
Was
from
it to
before.
Tom? What is the what's
yeah,
the angle?
He broke my heart.
Well, Tom also had a famous broken off engagement.
Very
so
famous.
Very famous.
Yes, when I was very young, and so I think I did know that because some girl I was talking to after a show was like, "You know who Jason Mraz is?" She was like obsessed with him, and I think she was like, he went through a broken up engagement, and he's the greatest artist of all time. She loved him. It was crazy.
That was Sam, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. That was me in a wig trying to get on the podcast.
Wait, so one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is that I was looking up articles about it, and one of the articles is titled, "I'm Not Yours, Jason Mraz Calls Off Engagement."
That's so funny.
Which is such a dick headline.
That is so funny.
It is that rare combo of mean and lazy. That's right. What's fun about it.
No, there's not a Mrs. A to Z.
I'm you sorry. And I both split up.
There's
that's
a
what
Mrs.
happened.
B to itch.
I'm sorry to lean away from the microphone when I laugh. It doesn't help.
It's okay. It just feels like I'm bombing.
I'm so sorry.
Let's play. Let's just start playing their songs. I could play one if you want. Or do you want to play?
Yeah,
that
works. That
yeah.
Works.
All right. I'm going to play I'm Yours just because I'm Not Yours was just brought up. But this is honestly, I am not a Jason Mraz hater. But I will say this is my least favorite of his songs.
And interesting.
It's the one on the playlist I don't like.
I do appreciate you putting it
you
on
also,
here, though.
No, but you had to put it on.
It's the big hit. Yeah, it's the big
the
hit.
The one everyone knows, yeah.
Well, are you done me in your bed? I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm yours.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing.
Yep.
I think that song sucks.
Go off,
but
King.
I also kind of liked it this time.
That's so funny because I found myself kind of enjoying it too.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe because I haven't heard it in like 5 years, and there was like a certain point where I heard it every day.
Yes, absolutely.
And now it's just like, oh, it's kind of good.
Yeah, it has like a kind of islandy pleasantness that like Jimmy Buffett has.
Right.
But it was just, we just got drilled with it too much. So it never, a song, it's not that good a song, so you shouldn't have to hear it that
sure.
much.
Like, it's in that style that's like Jack Johnson-y, and like we were just hearing so much of this shit, and at that point the sound I was done with, and I wasn't into this at the time either, but hearing it now removed from probably five years, it's pleasant.
Well, and in comparison to Jack Johnson, like in like retrospect, like or the kind of close imitators that he had, Jack Johnson never had those pipes. Like, he really does have like, an amazing voice.
True.
He like he's got like he could sing a Broadway musical probably. I mean, like he's
so he did.
He's really
he,
got.
He,
did he?
He joined the cast of Waitress in 2018.
Ooh.
Which is
the cast
when
of
I
what?
Was doing my with the cast of the show Waitress, the Sarah Bareilles show.
Oh, the Sarah Bareilles show.
So that's what I thought. That was one of the things I thought was really interesting about him is that he was like. When he was younger, he was kind of doing the coffee shop songwriter thing, but he was also doing theater. And he always was kind of trying to be a theater actor, too. He, like, went to the American Institute of the Arts or whatever. And then he ended up, because he was a successful musician, getting to be in Waitress on Broadway in this huge show. And it, like, made me root for him. I was like, oh, he did it, you know?
I think he has like a relatively easy to root for story because he just doesn't seem. It seems like nothing bad has happened to him, but also he hasn't done anything egregious. So you're just like, all right, cool. Like what a kind of unrelentingly positive person.
Yeah.
And for good reason, because it all worked out. Like he's
for sure.
Because I lived in San Diego for 3 years. I moved there after Cedar Rapids. That's like where I started stand up and stuff. Yeah.
That's where my girlfriend grew up for a lot of her.
It's like a weird city.
Yes, it seems very weird.
But Jason Mraz is kind of the embodiment of that. Like he started in like North County, San Diego, which is like where I lived for a little while.
Yeah, and he was playing coffee houses.
Yeah. And so, but he like seems like San Diego. Like he is like, oh, this place is not terribly deep, but it sure is like pleasant.
Yes. Yeah.
It was him and my buddy Tony Gwynn. They were hanging out back in the day.
Tony Gwynn is like that kind of guy, for sure. That's what Tony Gwynn was like.
So that's something we realized. We recently did a Jewel episode, and Jewel moved from Alaska.
I listened to that one. It's great.
So she moved from Alaska to San Diego, and we were kind of making fun of that, like, why wouldn't you go to L.A.? And then I'm kind of realizing now that apparently folk music in San Diego is like
a thing.
It is the place to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and for a huge city, it's such a small pond. It's
right.
Like no one's trying to do art shit. Everyone's, like, in the military or something, so it doesn't – there's no competition.
Yeah.
Were you doing stand-up there? Like, what was that like?
Yeah. That's where I started. It's like a very weird vibe. Yeah.
Were you
Because I just moved there –
What's the name of the place? Is the Comedy Palace? No, that's...
Oh, you guys did do a comedy. The Comedy Palace is a place. Yeah, there's... Yeah. I moved there really conveniently. There was, like, four clubs opened, like, the year I moved
there. American Comedy Company is
that's
there.
That's the one I'm picking up, yeah.
That's where I started.
Place.
Yeah, so that opened, like, 6 months into my living there.
Incredible, and then,
yeah, so, but there were four clubs and, like, no comedians.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Like you could just go. Yeah. I just did comedy as a job. Like it was really wild.
That's amazing.
Which I've not been able to do since. So it's like just doing comedy as a job in San Diego, just like hosting and featuring at every club, like every weekend is like, it was great. It was really fun.
Awesome.
It's the weirdest crowds. Cause it's like,
sure.
You know, it's a lot of like weird, like Marines and shit on shore leave. So you'll get like screamed down.
Well,
and,
that Gaslamp
called
district,
gay and stuff a lot.
Of course. The Gaslamp District is a weird vibe where American Comedy Co. is.
Oh, so weird. Yeah.
It's very touristy. It's like the hottest people all around all the time. You just feel like you're in a college spot where you...
Oh, it's the hottest, dumbest people.
Yeah, exactly. So you feel weird being around. And yeah, I just felt like a bridge troll walking around.
It's not even dumb. It's not even like dumb natives. It's like dumb transplants.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
You're the dumbest people from Indiana and Chicago.
And how dare you?
Also,
oh my God.
Did you really have to name the places we're from?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm saying your dumbest people moved to San Diego.
I don't think you've been to Indiana, brother. I think there's... I think a lot of those left behind. I don't know.
Okay, your hottest dumbest.
Thank you. There you go. That's what we wanted to hear. They left for Austin and San Diego.
For sure. That is how it feels.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That do you feel a kinship to Mraz because of this crossover?
No, it's weird. It like started before that. I was telling Tommy when we were talking about doing this was I think I bombed my ACTs because I tried to leave early to go to a Jason Mraz concert when I was like a junior in high school.
That is so funny.
It's like I had like a page to go and my buddy I was going with also was in the testing room and he was like, I've got like two. I was like, yeah, let's just not. Just guess. I don't care. Let's do this.
What?
Like,
that's so funny.
We probably did great. Well, because I'd also like take, you know, when they make you take them a couple, yeah. You take like the practice ones or whatever. And uh-huh. I was like, we just do it again. Like, and yeah, I did, yeah. Never did it again, obviously. And we drove, 5 hours to Minneapolis to go to a Jason Mraz concert.
Wow.
Which was rad. It was really good.
It was good?
It was a great, I mean, that's the time. 2005? Like, right. That was really,
that's
he hadn't
great
quite
time.
Peaked with I'm Yours, and so he was really, like, putting it, he's good live. Like, all his live albums, like, he's really putting in the work, so.
So this was post-Remedy.
This is Remedy time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, kind of mid-Remedy. And
let's play Remedy, because this is the song that introduced me to Jason Mraz.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I will say, I have things to say about this song, but I also, this is the song that definitely I liked that introduced me to him.
Well, I saw fireworks from the freeway and behind closed eyes. I can't make them go to away because you were born on the 4th of July. Freedom ring, well, something on the surface, it stinks. I see something on the surface, well, it kind of makes me nervous. You say that you deserve this, and what kind of God would serve this? We will cure this dirty old disease. Well, if you got the poison, I've got the remedy is the experience. This is a dangerous liaison. I assist the comedy, is that a serious? This is a strange enough new play on words. I said the tragedy is how you're gonna spend the rest of your nights with the light. To nothing in the end.
So that's an incredible song.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That so when good. I was getting ready today, I was like, oh fuck yeah, we get to listen to the Remedy.
The Remedy's great. Yeah.
It holds up. It really
it
does.
Holds up. It's a great song.
I remember hearing that and being so fired up on the bus on the way to school in high school and being like, yeah, things are about to be different. All right. This is a dangerous liaison. I was like, I can't wait to shine the light on all of my friends.
So what I think is crazy about the Remedy is in researching today, I found out that he wrote it about his friend who was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And the chorus is, I don't want to worry my life away.
Yes.
And that seems disrespectful to the friend.
Well, and if you got the poison is cancer?
Right.
Who saw that coming?
And I got the Remedy. The Remedy is the experience. What?
He truly does not have the Remedy unless he has a secret cure for cancer that he hasn't told
no
us
one
about.
Has that remedy,
the
man.
The remedy is chemotherapy.
But just like, Tom, if I told you that I have cancer and you're like, well, I'm not going to worry my life away.
What do you want from
like,
me
what the
here,
me,
Tommy?
Tom.
You want me to be concerned? I have a life too, Tommy. All right? My window got broken into. You don't hear me complaining about it every...
Sorry about your cancer. My window's broken.
They took my best Jason Mraz fedora.
No, it's... It's weird that... Yeah, I was just reading the same thing and I was very surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the song is about not letting life get you down no matter what happens, and that you shouldn't waste your life worrying all the time, especially if you may not have very long to live. Again, it seems like let your buddy write that song.
Not,
maybe.
Yeah, hurting more than helping.
Yeah, you're like, why? Well, I know someone who has it, so I'm going to write this song about how I'm not going to worry my life away.
We should listen to this other part, because this is like the this was the part I always thought about. I'm going to play it right
yes.
now.
Yes. Let's hear it.
It's a great
Yeah, I'm
bridge.
Jacked.
It's so good. When it all I'm amounts to nothing in the end. Ooh. I'm not kidding when I say that line really impacted me to the point where I think it helped me start stand-up. Where I was like, it all amounts to nothing in the end. Why not do yeah. what you want to fucking do?
Yeah.
Very powerful words.
It's great. It's great dumb guy poetry. Those are all my favorite. All my
it's,
favorite artists
it's very,
are great dumb guy poets.
It's very late AJ Soprano.
Yeah.
I just finished.
That's
Sopranos
how. That's
today,
how I know I'm not very bright. Is that I'm constantly like, this is great. what a genius.
One of the. I finished the Sopranos today, and this is not spoiling anything.
You finished it today?
I finished it this morning. Yeah,
Tom. If you spoil the Sopranos, I
swear
to Christ.
God, I will not spoil the Sopranos. Even though it's 20 years old, I will not do that. It's so fucking good. By the way, I want to talk to Tommy about it later because I know that you've watched it, and I want to talk about the ending. But there's a moment where AJ Soprano is watching. George W. Bush say dumb shit. I think it's like on The Daily Show, and he's just losing his mind. And I was like, oh man, I'm AJ Soprano. That was me. I was like, yeah, the president's a fucking idiot. And how funny is that? Vote louder, people. All right. No, it is. He was an idiot. And it was. I had the Bushisms poster. I was.
Oh,
I was
sure.
Doing my part.
You had the poster. What is on the poster?
The poster is all the dumb things Bush says. Where it's like, I think that gynecologists are practicing their love with women all over the world and stuff. And like all the dumb things he said. There's a Bushisms 1 and Bushisms 2. They're like Hot Topic posters or Spencer's gift posters. And I had a Republican roommate that I didn't know was Republican when I was 21 and 20, and he came into my room and he saw that poster and he's like, well, yeah, but really, if you think about it, the speech writers are the dumb ones because they wrote all that stuff from saying. I was like, you think that those are from speeches? They're clearly just things he said, like in press conferences and shit. Anyway, long story short, I worry that I am AJ Soprano.
One thing I'll say is that I genuinely like Jason Mraz, despite all my efforts to not like him based on the way he presents himself.
He throws like a lot of very like non-important barriers at you. He's so self-satisfied and like he's so pleased with his like wordplay and shit. And he has like a bit of a like Epic Bacon sense of humor.
That's
and you're
so
like,
funny.
And all that like all that stuff sucks.
Epic
and you're like,
Bacon. That's so.
It's
funny.
Like even like we sing, we dance, we steal things. It's like that is like the terrible Christian version of like be gay, do crime.
Yeah,
like it's so.
I was going to bring that up and ask
how toothless and stupid.
I was going to ask how you guys feel about what is it? We dance, we sing, we steal things. That is one of the I really hate it. I really hate it.
He has a worse album title. His worst album title is
Yes!
He has
an album
that's called Yes!
Here's the worst one, Tommy. Tommy, here's the worst one. Love is a four-letter word.
Oh, no.
That's a way worse album title. That's really bad.
Which is also, that is a cake song also.
I think it's good now.
The cake song is, friend is a four-letter word, actually.
Right.
That's different. But this is the Jason Mraz quote I needed to get off my chest. Just because I'm being very positive about him and I need everyone to know how much I hate this. Because I do really like his music, but this is one of my least favorite quotes ever. This is a Jason Mraz quote. He said, when I released my first album, my motivations were probably my ego and celebrating my vocabulary.
Ooh.
That's some
Martin Prince ass shit. That sucks.
That celebrating brutal. My vocabulary. Yes.
Spring oh. forth, Burly Protector. That is terrible.
Oh, that's rough.
The idea of enjoying your own vocabulary.
That is that like really my least ass. Favorite type of comedy, too, is the yeah. people who are like,
oh my God.
Check out these little words that I know, and these oh, are going to yeah. blow your
I
mind.
Hate wordplay in general. I mean, that's it. What sucks about it, is like he's so into his own wordplay, and I still like it.
Whenever some comic is like, oh, I can't wait to put the word chortle in this joke.
oh my God. This is going to be I'm going to blow my brains out.
I just found this. I didn't know this, and I've been to this place. I didn't realize he is a big investor at Cafe Gratitude, and he named his 2011 tour Gratitude Cafe in its honor. It's pretty wild.
Is that a place in New York?
It's in L.A. My brother-in-law's vegan, and he took me there. It's pretty good.
It's good. It's like a good restaurant. They also like do like a weird racial appropriative bow to you a lot. Like yeah. they'll tell you positive things when they bring you the food. Yes. It's Jason Mraz distilled where you're like, this is good for me, but now I'm angry.
Oh, and I'm thinking of Earth Cafe, but also I've been to Cafe Gratitude also. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Earth is good too.
That's what's crazy about Jason Mraz. Like, cause Tom, you're like this, like you grew up in this very conservative area and like, yeah. what is considered transgressive is like so different.
Yes.
Like Jason Mraz is like genuinely like if you're like say you had conservative parents, which I didn't, but they like if you my friends did, like if you were into Jason Mraz like and they figured out what that was, which is like veganism and peace and like fucking and yeah. And like smoking weed, they would be so shaken to their core sure. where like everyone I went to high school with was really into like Slipknot. Or like Marilyn Manson or whatever, but like that shit all you almost have tacit permission because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like your conservative saying. Parents are like, I understand how you're opposing me.
But they're like you're a teen, you're a rebel, I get it.
Yeah.
Mraz is yeah. slipping under God, the wire.
Yeah, Godsmack, literally they're smacking God. Like that's you know what I mean? Like they're mad about well, like that of kind those, of anger is so clear where like Jason Mraz is like, you can angry, adapt his life.
A lot of those super angry bands end up being Republican or like yeah, like POD,
yeah. all that shit.
Trapped recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Up,
but, I think but so Jason might be Mraz, in that category. Yeah.
One thing I found out about him in my research was that in his debut video, which I'm assuming is The Remedy, is he had a pin on his shirt that said, I love sex, or something like that.
At the concert I went to, he was giving out condoms that with that printed on it, and I remember at like 16 or whatever going, can he do this? Like, is this illegal to yes. give out condoms?
That's he so was wearing funny. A trucker hat, a sport coat, and an I love sex pin.
Well, sure. Tommy has been giving away condoms at his shows, which, by the way, he's been doing these maskless shows. I think they're very offensive. But he, he's been doing these.
The mask is on your penis.
He
it's
hands
a condom.
Out condoms that have holes poked in them because he says this will really spark.
So here's my theory is that I know that no one's going to laugh at the show, so they won't spread the virus that way. And yeah. no one really coughs either. And the sex, no one, the condom thing, no one's having sex after my sex. So everyone's pretty safe.
That's so funny. And you're wrong, Tommy. People are banging. I've been to a Tommy Mac show. The bathrooms, let's just say the stalls are all full. And there's two people in each of them. All
and
right.
Senator Larry Craig is there.
Tommy starts tickling the ivories, and Larry Craig runs into the bathroom.
Tommy shows
he gets a wide stance. Stop making.
Tommy shows there's a lot of Republican senators at them, and then there's a lot of young men there. It's all men at the show. And let's just say those bathrooms are full. Doing it.
I'm gonna divulge something to you guys. Speaking of young Republicans, is as a freshman, I was accidentally, and I mean it wasn't totally planned out, I was the president of the College Republicans.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah, I just wanted like attention.
Sure.
And I didn't really have an opinion yet. I was too dumb. And I was like, oh, like I have my degree is in political science. And I was like, this will be good for my degree.
That's so
and then
funny.
It like snowballed. And then I was like, when I was done with all of it, like when I was like a junior, I was like, oh, I just want to do stand up. Like that's yeah. actually what this impulse is. But everyone in the, like, half the guys in the College Republicans are just deeply closeted.
That's what I was
like,
about to say.
Self-hating maniacs.
There was like a Republican group at my high school, and the leader of it was this kid who I was friends with, but I was like, it's so weird that you're like this, because he was strange, and it was because he was so closeted that I was like, your personality doesn't mesh with what you say.
Yeah.
How fun you are to be around, like, away from these ideas.
Yeah.
And then it turned out he was deeply closeted gay, and then he came out, and all of that went away. Like, he was not, he was no longer the leader of the Republican Party at the school. Also, our gym teacher, who is an asshole, was like, he found out that my friend
Your
was
college
taking,
had a gym teacher?
No, this was in high school. This was a senior in high school. This guy, he took his boyfriend to prom. That was like kind of how he was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started telling people he was bringing it was after prom. The gym coach goes, "So Derek, I heard. Oh shit, I probably shouldn't have said. I guess it's only a first name." He goes, "Derek, I heard you brought a man to prom. Now is that your choice?" And it was so funny because it's like, yeah, obviously, like, yeah, he wasn't forced to bring this guy to prom.
That's such a dumb guy intentional misunderstanding of that too. Just like
he was like, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this was an accident.
Did you get forced into going to prom?
Did you have some bully who's a tough
Did you have
gay
a gay
man?
Bully?
Yes.
I was going to say, I'm going to play another song.
Yeah, let's hear the song.
And let me also bring up that Jason Mraz is an avocado farmer.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say he's bisexual, which I was like, oh, Tommy has renamed bisexual in code. Bit of an avocado farmer, that guy.
He did announce it in an interesting way where he said, like, by the way, B.I. in a poem.
Oh, yeah, he did it insufferably.
Yes, okay. And I don't want to insult the way
vocabulary.
Anyone comes out, but it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, this is fucked up, Tommy. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to play the first song you sent us, Sam, which is Bright Eyes, which I think it's a good move to name a song after a band that's better than you.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea.
And this is off of Live at Java Joe's, which is the good Jason Mraz album, which is his first one.
Yes.
Lullaby, oh my child, sing it. In bright lights, big city, he was quite extraordinary. The drive was pretty, I was in perfect company. The love of a lifetime since we were elementary friends. The one with the bright eyes. Why can't I be optimistic? I try to find the logic logically. I had a dream and I could not shake it. I was standing up there naked.
He clearly has an amazing voice. And
yes. I think that's like why I picked that song. It's like you can just hear, like, he's so effortless.
Yeah.
And just like up and down and up and down. He does those like weird like lip trills and stuff. And it's like, oh, like most people can't even kind of do that.
Yeah. And it's very like finding out that he was in the musical theater and listening to that. It makes a lot of sense. As someone who loves musical theater, not in like a dismissive way.
Sure.
He just has that kind of voice that like is like very powerful and rangy and he nails it.
So good. That his voice is great. I would have liked to see him in Waitress. I would love to have seen
I would love to see that. That'd be great.
I'm a Sarah Bareilles stan myself, and I would have liked that. Really so quickly.
It was the thing where she came back. She had left the run, and then when he came on, she came back to perform with him.
Oh my god, that'd be incredible. That'd be
great. Which is nice. Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
I wish I could go back in time and go to the
that Live at Java Joe's is recorded 10 days before 9/11.
Wow.
And you can tell because they keep saying, "We love Muhammad Atta. He's never done anything wrong."
you can already hear him in the audience planning to invade Iraq. You're like, "What?"
He keeps saying,
"That's unrelated."
Mraz keeps going, "We love Osama bin Laden, don't we, folks?
Don't we, folks?" Jason Mraz is a Trump figure.
Trump.
They call me Mr. A to Z, don't they?
I'm waiting for my rocket to come. It's going to come.
We sing, we dance, we steal things.
We have the biggest.
You can think of a rocket
rockets.
As a penis.
We steal things, don't we, folks? We dance. Before I forget, as I just did,
do we have a voicemail from Jared?
Coughing fit earlier. We do have a voicemail from Jared. This is our regular segment. Sam, I'm sure you heard it if you listen to the Jewel Ep. I think you left one of that one. Our weekly segment. That our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, the co-founder of Limestone Comedy Festival, he does a little segment called We Went to Jared, where he gives us his thoughts on whatever musician we're talking about. He's typically our resident snob, so I expect nothing but straight venom from Jared this week. But I've been surprised before. So here's the segment. They went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Jason Mraz. It's not really a lot of wiggle room here. I mean, the person... whoever this is that is defending Jason Mraz, I mean, they know that he sucks. It's just not believable that there's a person who willfully, as an adult human being, would throw on a Jason Mraz song or album and actually think to themselves, this is good. It's just, I refuse to believe it's possible. And this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, obviously no one thinks Aqua is good. Like, you guys have had stuff like this on here that is just not possible that someone really believes this. Like, this is just someone that thinks it's cute or funny to try to say that they like Jason Mraz. Now, the only other thing that it could be is that whoever this person is, they, again, same as a lot of things, where they liked him when they were stupid and didn't know any better, and they were a little kid or whatever, and they were just like, oh, this is fun music or whatever. But this guy has sucked in every second that he's ever been famous, and I can only imagine that whatever led up to that, he sucked then too. So this is stupid. Frankly, I don't believe it. I don't care what the person says. Tommy, and to a certain extent, Tom, will sometimes be tricked into being like, I actually like this. Shut up. All right. Bye.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That was way more venomous than I expected.
That is the most upset I've ever heard anyone be about anything.
I do want to point
out. In 2020, that is the most upset I've heard someone be upset.
I think I know why he said that last thing. And I think it's because Tommy famously gave Aqua a perfect score.
Aqua is fun. Here's the problem is that when Jared was like, Tommy will probably be like, I actually like this. I literally did that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So Jared is so right.
Honestly, Jared needs a little more. Oh, sorry. Jared needs a little more Mraz in his life. That's how it feels. Is he like needs somebody to be relentingly positive?
Here's the thing. I think you're absolutely fucking right. Here, so.
what a dour guy.
I'm gonna order a bunch of Mraz vinyl to Jared's home.
Also, we've addressed his many shortcomings. We're not.
Yeah. We opened it up with it.
We're not oblivious to it.
Mostly fedora based.
It's a lot of fedora based.
And honestly, if anyone's wearing a fedora, like, it should be like a skinny, kind of handsome guy from San Diego. Like, that's who should be wearing it.
Yeah.
It just the problem is when you throw it on an incel and then it becomes an official symbol.
That is the bigger issue.
Yeah. Throw it on the horny guy that's doing great.
I think I just can't hate people anymore who got moderate success in the mid 2000s where it's like, why would I hate them? You know, they're not famous. Yeah. They're not like a billionaire. Like he's just a guy who had a few hits.
And he's trying to do nice things. It seems like
he's pro universal healthcare.
Yeah.
How can you hate him?
And he's like a coffee shop guy. He's not like a, you know, it's
he's not an industry creation. He did work his way up. And even if it's a little corny at times,
He got big on MySpace and stuff. Like, he didn't even have, like, label backing for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish he didn't like his own vocabulary, but that's the only problem I have.
And if this is the, here's what's pretty bad about him, is everything after 2008 is, like, awful. Like, really unlistenable and, like, not even clever and stuff. And it gives me the feeling of, like, if you were going to a coffee shop and that's what was on, it's like, then it'd be like if you then went to like a Pier One, that's what would be on. Is like after 2008, Jason Mraz, you'd be like, oh, gross.
Right.
Let's play the rest of your songs and then maybe we could find some of the songs from the new albums and see how they are.
Yeah. Oof. Love first, is a four letter word, Tom.
First, we'll go through the ones you picked.
Yes.
So let's go with, have you listened to, Did You Get My Message? Let's play with that now.
The one I left while I was trying to condense everything that I meant in a minute or less. When I called to confess and make all of my stresses go bye-bye. Did you get my message? You didn't, I guess. Cause if you did, you would've called me with your sweet intent. And we could give it a rest. Dead a beat in my breast and making all of the pressure go sky high. Do you ever wonder what happens to the words that we send? Do they bend or they break from the flight that they take and come back together again with a whole new meaning and a brand new sense, completely unrelated to the one I sent? Did you get my message? Ooh. Oh, did you get my message?
So that's from Mr. A to Z,
right?
Which I want to hate as an album title, but it's also kind of cool.
I got to give him, it's pretty clever. It is pretty clever. And I was trying, like I said, I was trying to come up with a fun nickname for you today. And I was going to say like the S to the M or some shit. And it's harder to do than I thought.
The fifth season is cool. I like it. The fifth season is a good nickname.
Yeah. Fifth season's cool. Anyway. That's not bad. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that song?
Me or Tommy?
Either of you. Sam, you go for it.
Oh, I think I picked it because it's like one of his like more just upbeat songs that isn't like annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's not fully dicking around with like some stupid pun.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, that's like conventional. And live, that song was really great. And like I remember he did like a weird like message in a bottle thing at the concert and like sent out like shit written in like little bottles, but it just said like thanks for coming to the show or something, and like
he just did
like fun bullshit, and I liked it. I don't know, this is what it reminded me of. But
do you remember who opened for him? That's something that would interest me.
I think it was Tristan Prettyman, because that's who he
was. Ex-fiance.
That's his ex-fiance.
His ex-fiance. Wow. Yeah, and she's good. Like her music is fun.
Tread
also
lightly.
I don't want that Jared guy to call my house or whatever. He's so mad.
I'm not gonna make a comment on the fact that his ex-fiance's name is Pretty Man. I'm not gonna bring it up.
I think that's good of you to not bring it up.
I'm not the kind of guy who would mention that.
Let's just say that during that part of his career, his beard was coming in real nice.
Pretty Man. Okay. I'm going to play another song to get off this topic that I brought up. Trinity Man. Okay.
Can I really quickly before you start the next one? I just want to point out that that sounds like a fake name that he came up with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's also do either of you know the town that he's from?
No.
Sam, do you know?
It's in Virginia, right?
It is in Virginia.
What's the name of
it? It's called Mechanicsville, which makes me think, and he's of Czech and Slovak descent. I have a feeling he's a fucking spy. I don't think he grew up in Mechanicsville. I don't think Pretty Man is a real lady.
Mechanicsville also very much sounds like a very festive gay bar. Like, yes. You could spend some time at Mechanicsville. It'd be fun. So play good music.
We have two songs left from the playlist. They're both live cuts. I'm going to play No Stopping Us first, and then we have one more left.
Would it take a baker's dozen to get my point to you? Would it take a half a pound to roll that joint for you? Would it take some hand and memory so full of grace to get my sound to you? Would you help me break it down and get on through? Down to the other side. It's easy if you only try, 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 try. But don't lie down on the job. Or worse, because once we hit the top, there's no stopping now.
So that's great. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. Well, and another thing about it, I mean, it's like, he is kind of only, like, he only makes sense in, like, a pretty irony-free world. Right. That's why, like, 2001 to 2004, like, that is his era, because, like, it's before we got all ironic online and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you can be kind of that sincere, and everyone, like, so soon after, everyone started rolling their eyes like as hard as they could, yeah. Me, myself included. So it's like, that makes sense. That's his zone.
Yeah.
It is way, as you pointed out when you sent us the playlist, it's way different than his studio stuff.
His studio stuff really loses kind of a lot of the charm.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it seems like a lot of weed. I gotta say, did you say a pound of weed?
Yeah. He lives a frictionless existence where weed is free and comes by the pound. And he just hangs out by the ocean.
It is cheap.
He's having a great time. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play the last song from the playlist before we go to Facebook.
Yeah, go to Facebook still, yep.
Yeah. Sam, this is Traveler / Make It Mine.
That's a crazy long intro.
We're going to keep going, but I have to point out that is a very long intro. And
for a guy whose voice is
his deal,
yes,
it made me look like an idiot. And I have to point that out.
I got to tell you, I love when you get to control this fucking shit.
But I also want to point out before we go any farther that it did genuinely make me happy when he said Chicago, which is so embarrassing. Like, just say the name of the city I grew up near.
Yeah.
It'd be so funny if that's the only thing somebody did in a song. Like, the rest of it's instrumental. He just yells out in the middle of it, Chicago! And you're like, I fucking get it.
Yeah. Like when they yell tequila. That song rules.
All right, we're going to play it again. And based on copyright law, this is fine. If he doesn't start singing soon, I'm gonna flip out.
This is me. This is just me pranking Tommy.
How can you sleep at a time like this unless the dreamer is the real you? Listen to your voice, the one that tells you to chase past the tip of your tongue. Leap in the net will appear. I don't wanna wake before the dream. On a heavy rotation, requesting that it's lifting you up, up, up and away, and over to a table at the Gratitude Cafe.
So I do like it, but it's way too long of an intro.
So long. How long is that track running?
So we played a full minute before he started singing, right. Which, I mean, on my part, even the slightest bit of research could have avoided that.
I was really enjoying the song, and then he ruins it by saying "Greetings, Earthlings." It's like, Jesus, man!
I do
stop
not
doing
like
this
that.
To me. That's terrible.
But yeah, once it got going, I enjoyed it, but I did feel like an idiot for the full minute and a half.
So we did a minute, but I want to see the full song length here. I'll find her.
So there's two minutes left.
Oh, so it's not even that long. It's just. That's so funny.
And he, like, that's the thing with his music is, like, he re-recorded so much stuff, you never know what version you're getting.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, a MySpace guy, so he just had, like, a bunch of live shit out and then had to pick and choose for his studio albums, which aren't good anyway.
So one thing that made me excited was I was a little worried when you sent your playlist and it was, like, mostly live songs, and it was like, oh no,
oh,
we're gonna
sure.
have to go on YouTube. But they were all on Spotify, which was great.
Yeah, Spotify knows that that's where like his good shit is.
Most of the time when someone sends us a YouTube link, we're just like, oh no. We're fucked.
I did enjoy that, and it's weird that song is only 4.5 minutes. In all reality, it's not even a great.
Oh yeah,
long
the full minute.
I thought that would be like one of those 9-minute songs, which is like Mrazzy. Mm-hmm. Come on,
yeah.
Baby.
A better podcast host, if I were a better podcast host, would have skipped that first minute.
I thought it was fun and gave us something to think about.
That's what's important, is that we have something to reflect on.
Yeah, this is about learning.
We should go to Facebook now that we've heard the jams. Oh, by the way, just earlier, I think this is unfair, but when I was looking, because the way that we do research for the show often is blank sucks, blank controversy, blank embarrassing moments, all that shit. And I found this review on the Talking Mirror, and it's a review: Jason Mraz makes Nickelback sound good. And then they wrote, "Have you ever taken a dump that the toilet just couldn't seem to choke down? I feel like that toilet when I'm forced to listen to Jason Mraz's scatting, bebopping, skiddly, winking, warbling. I could be anywhere walking down the street in my grandma's car at the, I'm not even going to click on it to read the rest of it, but I just thought that was fun. All right. So now I'm going to the Facebook. This is our segment where we look at my Facebook friends' thoughts on whatever band we are talking about. This week, of course, we are talking about Jason Mraz, and we had some fun commentary today. Let me see what we got. I haven't looked at it in a couple hours. So, Gilbert Lawland says, sick hat.
Fair. That is an accurate review of him.
I think Gilbert's being sincere, too. Mike O'Keefe writes, I feel like I hear Jason Mraz whenever I'm in a Target, and honestly, I don't hate it. There you go. He's on your team. This was interesting, and I'm going to read it, even though it turned out to be inaccurate. So Matt Alonzo Mourning, friend of the podcast, also co-founder of the Limestone Comedy Festival, writes, I think my friend Jason has a story of him paying to go next at Bluebird Karaoke. So Bluebird is a bar in Bloomington, Indiana. So this is a story about him paying to go next at Bluebird and do his own song to impress the ladies. And then James Boyd, friend of the show, says he used to date a girl from Bloomington. That's interesting. So this is all in the same comment thread of Matt's thing. Jason, the guy that Matt references seeing him do that at Bluebird, says it wasn't Jason Mraz. It was Howie Day.
Hell yeah. That fits, because it feels like Jason Mraz could sing anything if he wanted to be impressive at karaoke.
Yeah, exactly.
But Howie Day couldn't probably just sing the Howie Day song.
So funny that he would be like, I got to go next, and I don't even worry about playing anything. I got it.
I brought my guitar to karaoke.
Can I play Collide really quick?
Yeah, go for it.
The first time anyone said yes to that.
You're barely waking.
So this is Howie Day's Collide.
Up in you. Yeah.
Perfect song for high school.
But I'm open, you're closed.
Cool.
I follow you. Light up again, even the best fall down sometime. Even the wrong words seem to run out of the doubt that fills my mind. But somehow find you and I collide.
That song makes Jason Mraz look so good.
Right, that's just what I was thinking. It's like, so that was true. So unpleasant after listening to Jason Mraz this whole podcast.
Yeah, agree to disagree. But I
Tom's crying. You can't hear it.
It's
but
a good song.
Even the best fall down sometimes.
Even the wrong words seem to rhyme.
Yeah, we've been like, man, what stupid lyrics, and then you get to that. Woof.
even the wrong words seem to rhyme. Truly. A terrible lyric.
Terrible.
Well, you'll somehow find. It is and just the most simple, basic song lyric writing. It's not good.
Collide is that not a romantic thing to happen.
No, it's not. It sounds like a car crash.
It's like two hockey players collide.
That song sounds like your engagement ending. That's what it sounds like to me.
I'm not yours.
That is so funny. And at the back, somehow find you and I encroach.
Sam, I think we're at the point where we're going to give you the floor.
Can I read a couple more Facebook ones real fast?
Yeah,
we just got a lot, so I would feel bad skipping over that this many. I'll only pick a few here.
Yeah.
Joss Austin says his first two singles were all over the radio in early 2004, rivaled only by Modest Mouse, but I like the third one, You and I, both the best. The video also featured Pre-Mean Girls by 2 Months, Lizzie Kaplan. Interesting. Alex Facella says he played my college open with an amazing mashup of The Remedy, Wonderwall, and Rocket Man, then 2 hours of bland mid-tempo ballads, and the whole room was walking around and talking or yelling, play You and I both. Kevin Frolics tagged somebody. I'm not going to read this. He tagged somebody who was like, I don't know what this is. Morgan Miles writes, his early live albums are amazing, and I still listen to them and I'm in awe.
The later albums always have a couple catchy tunes, but don't have the same feel. He seems to have gone pretty folksy recently. All that said, I will forever go to his concerts whenever I can, as he's fantastic live. Also random, but he has a super long live version of I'm Yours on MySpace that was pulled when the album came out, and I have yet to find it. Every few months, I'll remember that fact and get really sad. Katie Stone says, I saw him in 2006-ish when I was 16, and I'm ashamed to say I loved his scatting. Let's see here. There was a couple more here that were good. Stiletto Zamboni says, motherfucker can put the stank on a banjo. I'm getting a message here. That sucks. Colin Feel says, ran merch for him. Super nice guy. His dad also regularly tours with him. His laminate says Daddy Raz, and he hangs out at the merch table almost all night. He absolutely lives for telling everyone he's his dad and how proud he is of his son. It's adorable. Damn, I love that.
Daddy Raz.
Yeah, I love that.
There's one on here that I wanted to get to, and I found it just now. Connor McGrath says he played my brother's college's spring concert. Brother's friend was running on a treadmill in the student health center earlier that day, and Jason Mraz's bodyguard walked up to him and said, Jason Mraz needs that treadmill now, and kicked him off. Oh, somebody wrote Jack Johnson Light. All right, fair enough. Oh, Tim McLaughlin writes, Mr. A to Z. Thank you so much, Tim.
I know that's right.
I know that's right.
So, Sam, we're at the point of the show where we're going to give you the floor. Whatever you want to say about Jason Mraz, we won't interrupt. It's your last chance to defend him. So whatever you want to say.
All right. I feel like we've laid out a lot of his positives that I think it's like pretty obvious. But I will say he is a couple of points for him. I don't think his scatting is annoying, which scatting is the most annoying thing in the world. So it is wildly impressive that he is scatting and I'm not furious. Because anytime anyone scats, they sound like, what's her name from Sex and the City? You know what I'm talking about? The yes. He-dogs, she-dogs, like that. Like, that's the worst thing in the world right. To hear. And then he's pretty good at it. And it's fun. And like, I don't know. The other part is, I was talking to Ellie McIlvain, who's a comedian, and yes. She's like a big like pop music Twitter presence. And we were talking about Jason Mraz, and she was like, he should be the model for incels. He should like, that's who you should like follow if you're an incel, is just be like, yeah, I get to wear a fedora. I get to just kind of be horny, but not gross about it. And then, and just kind of encourage like peaceful condom use. And you don't have to like get mad and waste all your time being mad. Also, like, he's not smart, and I think that's fine. Like, we gotta, like, most music is from dumb people. I think it's like, we're so critical of that now, but it's not like Gene Simmons is smart, or like, you know what I mean? It's yeah. Like, Billy Joel's an idiot. Like, sure. It's okay that he's stupid. Like, let him, and his peak was when he was coming up, and then once he became rich, he couldn't make more music. That's fine. He's not deep. That's, it's okay to not be deep and just kind of enjoy that shit. So yeah, it's, I think it's like, he's like a barometer of just how mad of a guy you are. Like, and it's like, oh, you can enjoy him if you're not just pissed. It's great.
Preach.
I will say for the listeners that Kim Cattrall is the scatter.
There we go. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
If you actually want to get angry, Jesus. Look that up.
Look up Kim Cattrall scatting. It's one hell. Of the best videos of all time.
I would love if we knew a comedian who was a huge fan of that. That would be incredible.
I'm sure Lisa would do it.
That'll be Lisa song. Like fourth. How about for our 40th anniversary of Stand By Your Band? We'll do Lisa defends Kim Cattrall's scatting. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. We have to give our ratings, though, before we let you go here. I think I'm going to be honest, higher than I thought I was going to go coming into this, which means you did a great job with picking songs. I'm going to go with, it's out of six, because six songs. I'm going to go 3.75. Because I did enjoy his voice a lot. The music isn't all for me. I love The Remedy. And Tommy really fucked you on that minute-long intro. I'm giving it a plus 0.25 because we got to hear Collide. And I really... But no, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought. In my head, it was going to be a very cringy...
listening experience. I was discounting that he is a very talented vocalist, and I do enjoy that part of listening to him. And it's none of it is offensive to me, like, to listen to. So that's that's a huge plus. Tommy, what do you think?
So, first of all, fuck you.
Hey, fuck you.
For what you said to me. Look, I did a bad job. Being the DJ. But, Sam, I respected that you brought some live versions in, especially ones that were on Spotify.
Yes, we could look up these for sure.
And I did enjoy them, and it was a little bit of a Bruce Springsteen type of thing, you know, and I thought that was cool. But I think I'm in the same range as Tom, because I don't like Jason Mraz, but I do like every song that you sent, which I
kind of think that.
And I don't know how to reconcile those two facts, where it's like, I don't think I like him, but I also don't dislike any of these songs. So I'm going to kind of split the difference, and I'll go 3 out of 6 because I think that feels honest to me.
Fair enough.
Sure.
By what you were saying, I thought you were going to go higher than me. But hey, you know what? I think that's fair. You get to rate the playlist too, though, Sam.
Well, there's something about just him saying that he likes his own vocabulary I really can't get over that.
I mean that is his thing to me, where it's like, it's he spoils himself in this very specific way, where it's like, I really like on how often is a rich musician like also agree with me politically.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you would think he was a fucking Republican. He's a San Diego.
Scatting
white guy in a hat.
But like, he literally helped. I meant to bring this up earlier, but he literally went to Antarctica to play music for climate change scientists in Antarctica. And he's like,
yeah, he's like a good person. I'm like, God, shut up. Like, it's so infuriating. Again, it is a little bit of a nostalgia thing, but also all that Live at Java Joe's stuff, it reminds me of the good parts of San Diego, the like non-militarized, non-weird conservative, like gas lamp shit. Like the very fun, like go to Encinitas and like, you know, drink on the beach. That's like what it's for. And so I think it's good. It like serves its purpose. And and he is impressive in that he turns a bunch of stuff that makes you cringe into like pretty fun. Like actually pretty digestible. So
absolutely.
I'll give Jason Mraz how I feel about him 4.5 out of 6.
I love it.
Yeah.
What a great show. Thanks.
Do you have
so
anything
much
to plug, Sam?
Yeah. What do you got to plug?
I got a couple things quick. My first stand-up album that I recorded at the weirdest possible time comes out on Friday.
Hell yeah.
I was on tour with
shit.
I was on tour with Butt. You guys know the Butt.
Yeah,
we love the Butt guys.
Guys. So
I was on tour with
too, yeah.
I was on tour with Butt, and this is my second tour with them. And we went through the Midwest, and every city we were in, they got COVID after that city. And it was like, are we spreading this? But we were like fine, and it was back when, I mean, it was like the middle of March, so nobody totally knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Also. And so I was going to record this album at a music studio in Iowa called Flat Black Studios, which is this like amazing, amazing, studio in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, like south of Iowa City. It's in this you have to drive like miles to get to this house in this field, and a bunch of bands record there. And it's rad. It's like the coolest thing. And we put 30 chairs in there. We'd sold enough tickets for 2 shows of 30. And then COVID happened, and we had 2 shows of 12 each.
Oh, shit.
And so, but I was like, I'm just going to record this. I like don't want this guy to lose money. And and we just went for it, and we had so much fun. It's like the most fun, one of the most like fun sets of my life. Guys like had a great time.
Hell
and it was super fun. It's odd because there just aren't a lot of people in the room.
Right.
And it sounds a little like a 70s comedy album. Like it sounds kind of like a Robert Klein in a small room kind of deal.
I love that. So, it's fun to hear.
Will it be on Spotify?
It'll be on everything. So I'm just putting it on myself. I'm not
what is the name of the label?
So the album is called Regular Guy Out of Hell.
Hell yeah.
like the meat. I wanted to reference Meatloaf for all the kids.
I love
Bad
it.
Out of Hell.
That's so Regular Guy Out of Hell is a thing I said to McAdam in the car. So that's like what it's called.
That is incredible. I love it. I can't wait to hear it. I'm excited.
And listen to my podcast, Fight Island. If you like this, but wish it was dumber. You should listen to my podcast, Fight Island. It's me and Jordan Dahl. We just talk about what stuff would win in a fight. And and now we are podcast network mates.
Yeah, that's not official yet, but
we're not
announcing
that yet. I still haven't signed. I'm waiting until they grease me up a little bit.
Tom's the business shark.
If I can quote my own tweet, Tom looked at that and he said, "I may play ball, but I will never sign this."
Check out Tommy's other podcast. I'll let you say all your
My Spectacular Life stuff. Check it out. It's on Spotify and iTunes, and there's a 6-part narrative, and then there's an interview with Chris Gethard. Check that out.
And get Tommy's and also, vinyl, baby.
I have an album on vinyl, and also it's on Spotify and everything, so check that
out. Who's Tommy is what it's called. It's fucking killer too. And check out my other pod on Comedy Central, Stand Up with Tom Dekar. And get on that Patreon, baby. $3 gets you a bonus hour every week.
New episode every week.
Yes.
I feel like it's not some podcasts promote their Patreon to the point where it's annoying. I don't think we have yet. And I think
we
could use more people on
it. We got to get there.
Yeah.
You're really underdoing it.
Yes. Yeah. So get in there. Extra hour every week. This is the free hour.
But $3, there's an extra episode, and the episodes are really funny. And I think
they're us talking about mostly good music and stuff that we actually enjoy, and it's very fun. So get on there.
Not to offend you, Sam.
No. I mean, it's like
I clearly am not offended by that.
It's music that doesn't qualify for the podcast, is what I should say.
I think I shat on him a third of the time. So it's pretty. I'm not. My feelings are hurt.
Thank you so much, Sam. This was so fun. Check out Sam's album and, check out that pod and, we'll see you next week and get on that Patreon. Keep it crispy. Bye.